Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharata and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasarath. Purport. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers, Lakshman, Bharata and Shatrughna, are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms, Advaita Machuti Manadi Mananta Rupam. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyameina Tistan, the Lord is situated in many forms, such as Ram, Lakshman, Bharata and Shatrughna. And these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, who, being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dasarath in response to prayers by the demigods. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jadam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Brijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So with your permission, I'll try to see what I can say on this. So here in the ninth canto, we're beginning the pastimes of Lord Ram. In the second canto of the Bhagavatam, it's explained that the Bhagavatam is covering 10 subjects. Atra sargo visargascha stanam poshanamutaya manvantare shanukata niroda muktirashraya. These are the 10 subjects which the Bhagavatam talks about. Sarga means creation, visarga means secondary creation, stanam means the maintenance, poshanam means protection. Stanam poshanam utaya. Utaya means the creative impetus. Like this, the Bhagavatam is containing many, many different subjects. Just as in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the Gita covers 5 topics. The soul, God, karma, time, and material nature. So in the same way, the Bhagavatam contains 10 major subjects. Now, one of the subjects contained in the Bhagavatam is Ishanukatha. Isha, as we know, means controller, or in this context, God. And Katha means the pastimes. So one of the main aspects that's contained within the Bhagavatam is Ishanukatha, or the different pastimes of God. And therefore we find that throughout the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explained many times, we are simply finding different descriptions of Krishna, Krishna's incarnations, and the devotees of Krishna. Interestingly, actually, if one analyzes the Bhagavatam, then you see there's actually more katha, more pastimes about Krishna's devotees than even Krishna and his incarnations. Because that is very relevant for us. But as is mentioned, Ishanukatha, the pastimes of the incarnations, these are one of the major subjects contained. So here we're beginning to learn about the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. As the famous verse in the Gita says, many Hindus, even if they don't know any verse in the Gita, the one verse they all know for sure, probably because of the Mahabharata television serial, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyutanam Dharmasya Tadatmanam Srijami Aham. Krishna says, I appear millennium after millennium to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants. So Krishna is coming again and again to give a lifeline to the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead. It's interesting actually, some time ago while distributing books, I decided for a few days in a row that every single person I met, I would ask them one question. What do you do to relax? I decided to ask people for 3 days in a row. So, I mean, you meet a lot of people on the street, maybe 200-300 people a day. So I must have asked this question to 1,000 people. What do you do to relax? What do you think the top answers were? Television? Very good. Television and movies, we'll put that into one. That was definitely one major answer, yeah. Sleep? Very good. Very good. Eat? Some said that, but not many. Holidays? Very, very good. Sports was there, but still not one of the major ones. Music? Kind of entertainment, similar. Something else? Read? These are devotee answers. Internet? Yoga, no. Something a bit more, maybe lower in quality, drinking, yeah. Intoxication. Very interesting. What do you do to relax? I get intoxicated, I go to sleep, I go on holiday, or I watch a movie. Now think about those four activities. What do each one of those four activities have in common? What is the common thread between those four activities?
Being unconscious.
Being unconscious. Very good. And more than that?
Escaping.
Isn't it interesting? This is how people relax. They try to escape the world. If you look at it, it's not that even people who are having such a difficult time in life or people who are undergoing some kind of depression that they even do these four activities. Everyone does it. Even the people who are materially very well off, doing very well in their life, they still do these four activities to relax. So it's very, very interesting because it gives us an indication that actually every single person, no matter how good their life is trying to escape. No matter how perfect everything is in our life, even though all the elements may be there, still there is an inner feeling from within that I have to escape to some other place.
The only problem is when you get intoxicated, you can't stay high forever. The only problem is when you go on holiday, you have to come back after a month. The only problem is when you go to sleep, you have to wake up after 8 or 9 hours, or if you're a university student, 12. The only problem is when you watch a movie, it ends after 2 hours and back you are in the material world again. So none of these forms of relaxation or escapism provide any kind of real solution to the soul. Don't provide any kind of satisfaction for the thirst that is within us. And therefore the only way to really escape, the only way to get to the ultimate relaxation state is to go back to the spiritual world. And therefore Krishna periodically comes to the material world, as he says, paritranaya sadhunam, to take the devotees back, those who are interested, to take them back to the spiritual world. So this is the ultimate form of compassion, that Krishna comes to the material world to take the spirit souls back. And therefore, like now we've just been on a marathon, and of course we often quote the verse where Krishna says, Nachatasman manusheshu kashkin me priyakrittama bhavita nachametashmad anya priyataro bhuvi, that Krishna says, one who explains the secret of the Gita, there is no servant more dear to me in this world than that person. So why is that so? Because Krishna is making the journey all the way here personally to the material world to invite the conditioned souls to go back to him. Krishna makes a big endeavor, you know, sometimes to like drive from London to Leicester is a big endeavor. Right, or you have to go to Soho in the morning, a big endeavor, or you have to drop someone to the airport, big endeavor to make that journey. Forget about an hour's journey or a 2 hour journey, Krishna makes the journey from the spiritual world to the material world, that's a long journey. But why does Krishna do that? Because he wants to take the souls back to the spiritual world. So then, if a jiva tattva, if a jiva soul, then turns to Krishna and says, okay Krishna, I'll help you. I'll help you to do that task. I'll help you to take the conditioned souls back by doing whatever is in within my capacity as an instrument. Then naturally, Krishna becomes very, very favorably disposed to such a spirit soul. And therefore, that's why a preacher or one who shares the message of the Gita is very, very dear to Krishna, because they are helping Krishna to achieve the very task that he comes to the material world to perform. And therefore we see here that so many living entities and even expansions of God are taking part in the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord when he comes. When the Supreme Lord comes to the material world, then sometimes demigods appear before in order to prepare the ground and take part in the pastimes. So sometimes demigods are taking part in the pastimes. Sometimes Krishna expands himself and comes as different Vishnu tattvas along with his incarnation in order to support the pastimes. So here it's explained that along with Ram came Bharat, Lakshman, who are both Vishnu Tattva. And they supported the pastimes of the Lord. And then obviously Jiva Tattvas or living entities, they are also taking part in the pastimes of the Lord. So this is a transcendental drama that the Lord performs in the material world. And actually, the activities of preaching are an extension of the transcendental drama of Krishna. Just like Prabhupada in one letter to Rameshwar Prabhu that was discovered recently, Prabhupada said, Because Prabhupada was writing the books and he was having a competition with his devotees, that he would write the books, publish the books, and then the devotees would distribute, and they were having a competition whether the distributors could distribute the books before Prabhupada had more ready. So Prabhupada was having this kind of transcendental rasa with the book distributors. And Prabhupada said, "Yes, I am writing the transcendental drama, and the preachers, they are taking part in that transcendental drama." So the activities of preaching and the activities of the devotees are an extension of Sri Krishna's pastimes in this world. And even in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are still going on in the world today. But only those who are of fortunate vision are able to perceive those pastimes. So when Krishna comes to this world and performs his pastimes, then those pastimes actually are continuing on eternally. It's said that the pastimes of the Lord are Nitya Leela. Nitya Leela of the Lord, eternal pastimes, can mean many, many different things in many different circumstances. One explanation of the Lord's pastimes being eternal are that the Lord's pastimes are eternally performed in the spiritual world, therefore they're Nitya Leela. Another meaning of the Lord's pastimes being Nitya Leela is that the Lord's pastimes are continuously being performed in the material world in one universe or another, and therefore the Lord's pastimes are Nitya Leela. Another explanation of why the Lord's pastimes are Nitya Leela, because the Lord's pastimes are continuously being enacted within the hearts of the devotees, and therefore the Lord's pastimes are Nitya Leela. And a fourth explanation of why the Lord's pastimes are Nitya Leela is because even when the Lord leaves, when the devotees carry on the activities of the Lord in consciousness of the Lord, following in the footsteps and following the desires and wishes of the Lord, then actually that is considered that the Lord is actually present in those activities, and therefore the pastimes of the Lord are Nitya Leela. So by performing the activities desired by Krishna, desired by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then we invoke their presence. And therefore Prabhupada once said to a book distributor that just dedicate your life to distributing books, and one day you'll distribute a book and you'll turn around and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be right there ready to embrace you. So the Lord's presence is invoked, and in this way the Lord's pastimes are Nitya Leela, eternally enacted. As we meet people around the world on the streets, as we go out and preach in different forums, then inevitably we meet many people who either claim to be God or who claim to know who the latest incarnation of God is. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Govindai ki jai. And therefore it's very important, here we're talking about how Lord Ramachandra is an incarnation of Krishna who has come to the material world. So it's also very important for us to know what constitutes or what, by what parameters can we understand a personality to be an incarnation of God. That's a very, very important topic for our own understanding and in order to share that with others. So in order to understand who is actually a bona fide incarnation of Krishna, we can say there are four main parameters or characteristics that have to be considered. The first and probably the most important is that they are mentioned in the scriptures. Every incarnation of God and their characteristics and their activities and some element of their circumstances surrounding their advent, all of that is contained within the scriptures. And therefore, the first thing we should explore if someone is claiming to be an incarnation of God is, where is the evidence in scripture? So this is probably the first and most important aspect that must be analyzed when understanding who is an incarnation. The second thing which identifies someone as an incarnation of God is their attributes and certain astrological indications surrounding their advent in this world. And therefore we see, for example, if we study Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, then as soon as he was born, then Nilambara Chakravarti did his horoscope and understood the constellations at the time of his advent, and also analyzed the bodily attributes of Nimai, and could understand that immediately this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the astrological indications and the bodily attributes also provide another major means by which someone can be understood to be an incarnation. Problem with these two things is that sometimes we're not so learned. Sometimes we don't have a full grasp of the Shastra. Sometimes we don't have access to scriptures. And I don't know how many people here know much about astrology or, you know, can analyze the attributes of someone to understand whether they're divine or not. And therefore, the third parameter that's used and employed in understanding who is an incarnation is the acharyas. So therefore, the acharyas and following the understandings and insights of the acharyas is very, very important. And the acharyas very, very definitely establish who is an incarnation of God. And Krishna establishes the importance of following the acharyas, because in the Bhagavad Gita, even when he says he's the Supreme Lord, and even though he's saying that he is the Supreme Lord, he says that Asita, Devala, Vyasa, all of the great sages have confirmed me to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the acharyas and the understandings and insights of the acharyas are very, very important for us. So that's the third aspect. And the final aspect is that an incarnation is understood by their ability to perform many, many extraordinary activities. And therefore we see in the life of Ram, in the life of Krishna, in the life of Nrisimhadev, in the life and pastimes of all these different incarnations, so many extraordinary activities were performed, revealing that these personalities were not ordinary, but were of a divine origin, like that. And one of the most extraordinary activities that any incarnation performs is the upliftment and the spiritual process that they leave behind in order for people to then elevate themselves. So that's one of the most extraordinary things. So in this way, we can understand who is an incarnation. The first thing is with reference to scripture. The second thing is by analyzing astrology and attributes. The third thing is by following the acharyas. And the fourth thing is by the extraordinary activities that someone performs. So in this way, if anyone claims to be the latest incarnation, then we can very, very easily ascertain as to what the credibility of such a statement is. So here, Ramachandra, of course, his pastimes are beginning, and of course all of these aspects are analyzed and understood and confirmed by the acharyas, and therefore we understand that Ramachandra is for sure incarnation of Krishna. The names here in the verse is explained, Rama Lakshmana Bharata Shatrughna Iti Samgyaya. The names indicate very, very important attributes of the personalities. Ramachandra, as we know, Rama means he who gives pleasure. And therefore it said, Ramante yogino nante satyanande chidatmani iti rama pade nasho param brahma vidiyate. That one who is known by the name Ram is the one who is giving param, the greatest pleasure or the greatest sense of happiness. And therefore the name Ram is very, very significant. One who is giving pleasure, the very reservoir of pleasure. We see the name Bharat, that's also very, very significant. It reveals something very, very deep. Bharata means one who is carrying a big burden. Bhara means very heavy. So Bharata is one who carries a very heavy burden, because as we know, Ramachandra was exiled to the forest for 13-14 years. Like that, and Bharat was the one who had to carry the kingdom, even though he did not want to. He was ready to go to the forest also with Ram, but he had to carry that, and that was a great source of anxiety for him. And therefore his name is also very, very significant. Shatrughna, this is also a very, very significant name. It means one who has no enemies. So that is very difficult in this world, to be a person who has no enemies. So simply just even by analyzing the names of these personalities, we can learn so much about spiritual life and so much about their activities and their personality and their character like that. So as the chapter will go on, then in this chapter we'll learn in a very succinct way about all the different activities of Lord Ramachandra, by which he was able to give pleasure, deliver all the sadhus, deliver all the saintly people, annihilate all the miscreants, and re-establish religion, and mainly by showing his ideal character. Because as we know, different avatars of Krishna are performing, or their priority is different. Krishna is known as Lila Purushottam, God who is performing many wonderful activities. Ramachandra is known as Maryada Purushottam, God who is showing the perfect example. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Prema Purushottam, God who is very freely giving and exhibiting the topmost love that everyone is looking for. So we see that the focus of every incarnation is different, and the focus of Lord Ramachandra will be to show the perfect example, and as the verses go on, we'll learn more about that. Phew. I made it. So there's a few minutes left, so if anyone has any comments, anything to add, or any questions, then...